ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 31 एंटाइटल्ड नारद इंस्ट्रक्ट्स द प्रोचेतास टेक्स्ट 6। यदादिष्टं भगवता यदादिष्टं भगवता शिवेनाधोक्षजेन च तद्गृहेषु प्रसक्तानां प्रायशः क्षपितं प्रभो ट्रांसलेशन। ओ मास्टर, मे वी इन्फॉर्म यू दैट बिकॉज ऑफ आवर बीइंग ओवरली अटैच्ड टू फैमिली अफेयर्स we almost forgot the instructions we received from Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. Remaining in family life is a kind of concession for sense enjoyment. One should know that sense enjoyment is not required, but one has to accept sense enjoyment in as much as one has to live. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kamasya Nendriya Pritihi, 1st Canto, 2nd Chapter, 10th Verse. One has to become a Goswami and control his senses. One should not simply use his senses for sense gratification. Rather, the senses should be employed just as much as required for maintaining body and soul together. Srila Rupa Goswami recommends, anasaktasya vishayan yatharam upayunjatah. One should not be attached to sense objects, but should accept sense enjoyment as much as required, no more. If one wishes to enjoy the senses more than required, he becomes attached to family life, which means bondage. All the prachetas admitted their fault in remaining in household life. यदादिष्टं भगवता शिवेनाधोक्षजेन च तद्गृहेषु प्रसक्तानां प्रायशः क्षपितं प्रभु। सो कंटिन्यूइंग ऑन इन दिस चैप्टर विच एक्सप्लेन्स दैट हाउ आफ्टर द प्रचेतास गॉट द मर्सी ऑफ लॉर्ड विष्णु, फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल लॉर्ड शिव एंड देन लॉर्ड विष्णु, दे डिड तपस्या, they got their benedictions and they have come back. And after being pacified due to certain misgivings that they had on seeing the planet Earth and becoming slightly angry, they are blessed by the presence of Shripad Narad Muni here. And as the chapter is entitled, Narada Instructs the Prachetas, So here, the Prachetas are offering their petition, their prayers to Shripad Narad Muni. And in three verses, the Prachetas offer a classic example of how a prayer should be. Time and time again, we find this in the behavior of great personalities. They always act in such a way that it conforms the scriptural injunctions. In a civilized society, there is a particular way of interaction amongst living entities. Where there is a lack of Sanskriti or a civilized way of life, there is practically no conformed way of dealing with each other or having relationship. But in a civilized society, according to one's dress, one's status, one's position, one immediately understands to what background this particular personality belongs and how we should have a relationship with that personality. Like our Radha Gopinath Prabhu has this example always of how in the traditional system one could understand not by the variety of dresses that one sees as to the background of the personality, but just some fine discrimination, some fine points of differences. Like in a Vedic setup, traditionally everyone would wear dhoti and kurta, males. The male members of society would traditionally wear dhotis and kurtas. So, sometimes like it is also seen in our society, we can understand there are dhotis and kurtas. If there are plain dhotis without any borders, then it belongs to a particular class of society. They wear such dhotis. If there are some borders, then you can understand too. What is the background of the person who wears it, and if there is a thick border. So there is differentiation like that. And it is important. It is important how one presents oneself, because then it helps in relationship, in dealing with each other. Like Prabhupada would say, and I'll come back to the example of Radha Gopinath Prabhu also. He would say that how in traditional society, one could understand whether a girl is married or not married simply by seeing the parting of her hair. If a woman is married, then she would part her hair in the middle, exactly half. If not, if she is pre-marriageable age, then she would part on one side, must be to the right or left, something like that. And if she is a society girl, then she parts her hair in another way. And that is how you understood how to deal with the particular woman. Just by the parting of the hair. Similarly, Radha Gopinath Prabhu's example, if you can see, this person has slightly coarse dhoti and kurta, that means he is of a lower section of society. If very fine, silken dhoti and kurta, and maybe with one uttari along, or a shawl, higher level of society, that is how you deal with them. Yes. So civilization means having a proper presentation by which it becomes easier for people to deal with each other. Nowadays, as one of our God brothers says, it's difficult to realize even whether it's a boy or a girl. Sometimes so difficult. So then you do not know how to deal with that person. Right? You go finding him, thinking that this person is a boy, and finally it turns out to be a girl, or you girl, or it turns out to be a boy. It becomes very difficult to deal with them. Relationship becomes very difficult. So similarly, in traditional society, there is a way of how you deal with superiors, how you deal with the Supreme Personality of Godhead when you come in front of him in the form of his Archa Vigraha, how you deal with these superiors when you come in front of the Vigraha of Srila Prabhupada, or you come in contact with superiors. Renounced order of life, the Grihastha order of life, You find this. You find in the Mahabharata and the Ramayana, whenever the rishis would visit the kingly personalities, saintly kings, the rishi would ask, "My dear king, how is your treasury? How is your family? Are there any problems? Any enemies attacking you?" And the king would ask the rishis, "How is the practice of austerity going on? How are your sacrificial offerings going on? Is there any disturbances around your ashram?" Now supposing a rishi comes in today's society and finds everyone jeans clad and, you know, so on and so forth, how will he deal with it? He does not understand whether to deal with this person as a business executive or a sports person or a student or what, a man or a woman. But just by the dress, by the attire, by the position, by the status in society or by a particular environment, one understands. This is how I was. If you go to a king and ask him, "My dear sir," Rishi will ask him, "My dear sir, and how's your shoe business going on?" Nowadays anyone can start a shoe business, but to ask the king is insulting. Therefore you had to know how to inquire from a person. There are certain conformed ways of inquiring. And here we find that when you approach a civilized or a superior person, how the inquiry should be, or rather, how the approach should be. Three statements, three shlokas, 5, 6 and 7. If you read the first shloka, "O great sage, O Brahmana, we hope you met with no disturbances while coming here. It is due to a great fortune that we are now able to see you. By the travelling of the sun, people are relieved from the fear of the darkness of night, a fear brought about by thieves and rogues. Similarly, your travelling is like the sun's, for to drive away all kinds of fear." So first of all, Shrimad Narad Muni has come. This is his, he's just being introduced, or he's been introduced to the Prachetas right now. And they know him. So they ask him, "Is the journey all right? Everything is according to satisfaction?" And then they offer him glorification. And such choice words of glorification. Just like the sun dissipates darkness and thieves and rogues vanish, similarly your traveling is like the sun. So it vanishes all kinds of, it mitigates all kinds of fears which are like thieves and rogues and steal away the consciousness and the serenity of the living entity. Glorification. The second verse that we are reading today, "O Master, may we inform you that because of our being overly attached to family affairs, we almost forgot the instructions received from Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu." After glorifying the superior personality, one presents oneself in a humble way. Our introduction has to be done to the personality. And how is the introduction to be done? One must bring forth one's shortcomings in a sincere and humble attitude, such that the superior personality's compassion, his compassion is invoked for our betterment, for our benefit. And the third, that is tomorrow's verse, "Dear Master, kindly enlighten us in transcendental knowledge, which may act as a torchlight by which we may cross the dark nescience of material existence." And third, most important is, ask for a benediction, which is the perfection of meeting that personality. So this is technically called as samprarthanatmika, dainyavodhika and lalasamayi. We read these and then we find the practical application in the lives of great personalities through the scriptures. Therefore, Prabhupada says two Bhagavat. One is a book Bhagavat, which instructs you, gives you the codes of conduct, and the person Bhagavat who lives according to the codes of conduct. So the first is some prarthanatmika type of category of the part of the prayer. That is offering very, very sincere prayers, generally of glorification. Especially when we approach the Supreme Lord, we approach the deity form of the Lord, his archavatar, we approach some superior Vaishnavas, Or even in a civilized society, when you approach a senior personality, it could be, for a matter of fact, our parents. It could be relatives. It could be some senior section member of society. Glorify, because that is the way of civilized society. And then present oneself in such a way that invokes that person's compassion. Or at least he feels a relationship towards us. Dainyavodhika, in terms of spiritual understanding, it means really presenting oneself as an insignificant servant. Sincere presentation. Dainyavodhika. Dainya is described as sincere humility. And then the person has the capability of offering us something. One should not be foolish enough not to try to get the full benefit of the association of that personality. Lalasamai. One should beg for the benediction that the association of that personality can offer. The association of a superior Vaishnava can offer his blessings. Some benefit. When we come to the Supreme Lord, we beg for some perfection. Service of the Vaishnavas, love of Godhead, something, at least something, some prayer, some benediction we ask for. But that is not the first step. The first step is, this is civilized society. So here we find very practically how the Prachetas are doing that. They are applying the scriptures. And they are doing it in such a way, which does not seem too mechanical. It's not that, alright, Samprarthana is over now, Dainyavodhika. So my dear sir, we are offering you Dainyavodhika prayers, please accept it. And then after that, this is Lalasamai, please pay attention to this. Even if you have forgotten the first two, no problem. This is most important. Lalasamai. So sincerity and the humility is very much important through all this. So just after the Prachetas have been through that incidence, we find that how they never divert from the scriptures. That is the difference between a person who is advanced and a person who is a neophyte. A person who is neophyte becomes easily disturbed throughout, in and out by any circumstances. But an advanced personality, despite whatever circumstances he's been through, always sticks to the scriptural injunctions. Because that is how his consciousness is. It's just like a second nature for that personality to act according to the scriptural injunctions, to act according to the orders of the spiritual master. That's second nature. So here, the Prachetas are explaining of their shortcomings, their certain misgivings that they have about themselves. Being too muchly overtly attached, too much overtly attached to family affairs, we have almost forgotten the instructions of Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. Two ways one can understand this. One is, actually, the Prachetas are putting themselves in a position where, because of attachment to family affairs, they have forgotten some of the instructions. And secondly, if the Prachetas are not in the situation where they have completely forgotten, they are not attached to the family affairs, then what does this signify? How is this important to us? You see, we have superiors under whom we are always seeking guidance. And sometimes when we are faced with the opportunity of having another superior Vaishnava or another superior personality from whom we can seek guidance, we are at a dead's end and not understanding what we should ask for. Please, my dear sir, please allow us to sincerely chant our rounds. And sometimes a reaction could come, haven't you taken that vow at a time of initiation or something like that? So then you are wondering, you are flustered. So here the Prachetas are also explaining how one can approach the mercy of a superior personality without seemingly making it appear that we are not completely following the instructions of a spiritual master or some other superior Vaishnava. We have almost forgotten. We are supposed to follow it, but we have almost forgotten. Kindly help us to remember what we were given by the superior Vaishnavas, by our spiritual master. Please help us in that mood. See, the Prachetas could have easily gone the other way, you know. They have instructed us, but now you are a new spiritual master, so you instruct us, we forget the previous spiritual master. So with due respects to Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu, how can their instructions go in vain? So they are begging Shripad Narayan Muni, help us strengthen our commitment and our determination to follow the instructions given by Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu by reinforcing our remembrance of it. This is very subtle again, so very fine culture. That we are begging for the mercy of Narad Muni, at the same time we do not, otherwise it seems like you are not following the instruction of Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu, what benefit is there or what guarantee is that you will follow my instructions. So, very cultured way, in fact, very much conscious of the instructions, Krishna conscious. Very much Krishna conscious in how to present also. Srila Prabhupada in the purport says, remaining in family life is a kind of concession for sense enjoyment. One should know that sense enjoyment is not required. So being in family life is a kind of concession for sense enjoyment. And Prabhupada says, one should know that sense enjoyment is not required. The nature of the soul is not to hanker for sense gratification. In whatever ashram or varna we may be, if we become complacent and think that because of our conditionings, we have to accept whatever state of being we are in, then you are taking undue advantage of the concession offered. Because the bottom statement is, one should know that sense enjoyment is not required. So when one has a full understanding, or at least one is convinced that sense enjoyment is not required, but presently, because of certain conditionings or certain circumstances, this is the way of purification towards attaining that goal, then one steadily advances in spiritual life. The moment one forgets this goal, then one becomes complacent. After some time it may happen, Prabhu, right now we are too much in Maya. By your blessings, we will go ahead. These are statements which betray our lack of commitment in the statement that Prabhupada is saying. One should know that sense enjoyment is not required. One should know that. Now, one may not be able to totally follow it right now, but if one is convinced, then one day one will do it. Just like for a student, one should know that one has to pass the final examination. Right now, whether one studies for it or later on one studies for it, one should know that one has to pass the final exam. That is the bottom line. One can live without sense enjoyment. Because it is not required. But then, a kind of concession for sense enjoyment is allowed according to our conditional nature. And Prabhupada uses, remaining in family life is a kind of concession. He does not say family life is a kind of concession. Many a times this is misconstrued and a factional war can take place between the renounced order of life and the married order of life. remaining in family life. And what does remaining in family life mean? Prabhupada makes this very clear. Remaining in family life means, the next statement says, states, one should know that sense enjoyment is not required. That means anyone in any position, in any status or occupational duty of life, if loses focus of the constitutional nature of the soul, remains in worldly life and needs sense gratification as a concession. Prabhupada offers us some leverage, but one has to accept sense enjoyment in as much as one has to live. Let us see the example of Maharaj Dhruva. As a young boy of 5 years, he was used to a lot of sense gratification in his father's house. Princely enjoyment, princely, whatever a prince gets, he's used to that. So much so that if he's not offered the opportunity to sit on his father's lap, he becomes so insulted. The very name Dhruva, Dhri, from the Dhri Dhatu, from the Dhri root, the verb root is Dhri, which means holds firmly. So Dhruva means firm, very firm determination. 6 months. 6 months he achieves a position where he is not dependent on any of his senses. And it's a gradual progress. First food, 3 days, then 6 days, every 9 days, then give up that, live on water, give up that, live on air, give up that. No more dependent on his senses for existence. See? So when we read scriptural injunctions like this, when the spiritual master or the acharya offers the scriptures in a format that we can understand, one should know that sense enjoyment is not required. Now these words are in English. It is simply an understanding in English of the statement that I am spirit, soul, part and parcel of God. Aham Brahmasmi. It is just the explanation of that Sanskrit axiom in a way that we can understand. And this statement is proved through the scriptures by the examples of great souls. Unfortunately, our dependence and our faith in great souls is so lacking. Because we think that we are great souls and we are setting examples. And therefore our example becomes the best example. We are doing the best, we get the praise, we get the position, we have followers. And hence, we will justify our position by giving so many examples. At least in the past 4 years we have made so much advancement. 5 years, see Prabhu, we have given up all social meetings, this and that. But Dhruva required 6 months. 6 months to be reinstated in his constitutional position. And that is why in his constitutional position he got the darshan of Lord Vishnu, direct. Because he has attained his constitutional position. Just as Krishna is never alone, the soul is never alone. The soul is always at the lotus feet of Krishna. So as soon as one attains one's constitutional position, one has the opportunity to surrender oneself at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Self-realization and God-realization go hand in hand. And Prabhupada quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Kamasya nendriya priti labho jiveta yavata jiva asya tatva jigyasa na artha yah cha iha karma bhihi. नार्थयश्चेह कर्मभिः. देयर शुड बी नो एंडेवर अदर देन दिस. एंड द एंडेवर इज वन शुड नो दैट सेंस एंजॉयमेंट इज नॉट रिक्वायर्ड. Srila Prabhupada, he practically demonstrated this through his example, with his behavior with his disciples. In the beginning, Prabhupada made the famous statement, Krishna consciousness means accepting Krishna prasad as much as you can, fill up yourself up to your neck so that no another grain can go down your throat to water like a duck. In Krishna prasad, as Prabhupada in the beginning days made it so attractive, so tasty that everyone is attracted to eating Krishna prasad. They were full. And then slowly Prabhupada started instituting so many rules and regulations. And one day he also gave another statement in a couple of years. He told one of his disciples, I'm paraphrasing it. Devotees should not eat so much that they are intoxicated or in that position. They should eat what is required. They should honor prasad as much as is required. So when this was informed to certain devotees, they had their flag up, their flag of justification. Prabhupada said that we must eat prasad as much as we can. So here is one Prabhupada's statement. Prabhupada did issue it. Fortunately, Prabhupada was there to explain what he meant by that. So the issue was brought to Srila Prabhupada, and when it was brought to him, Prabhupada says, so what is the problem? Prabhupada, you said that devotees should not indulge so much in overeating. The nectar of instruction was out, atyahar. Prabhupada said, yes, that is important. Devotees should control their tongue. But Prabhupada, you did also mention that devotees should eat up to their neck, so that they are waddling like ducks, they are walking like ducks. Prabhupada said, yes, I said that also. Then Prabhupada, some devotees say that is what is your absolute statement. And they are not agreeing to this statement. Prabhupada said, when I said you should eat to your neck, then you accepted. But now when I am saying control your tongue, you don't accept. Why? One has to accept sense enjoyment in as much as one has to live. One has to live in Krishna consciousness. So when one is totally in material consciousness, then Prabhupada's statement is there. Fill yourself so much with Krishna prasad that the attraction for outside food is lost. Food that is not offered is lost. But as the attraction towards Krishna increases, one has to learn how to be dependent on Krishna's mercy in any form that it comes. And control the tongue. Some days, just this week, there was Anant Chaturdashi, the disappearance pastime of Haridas Thakur 500 years back. Srila Prabhupada, in the pastime that is being given by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he explains very wonderfully some point about Mahaprasad. Very interesting. Govinda, the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, came to Siddha Bakul, where Haridas Thakur was staying, to offer him the morning Uppalabhog Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath. Every day, Lord Chaitanya would make arrangements that Thakur Haridas would get Mahaprasad. Nowadays, sometimes it's so difficult to get Mahaprasad for a few devotees. For some, the scheming and planning takes so much endeavor. But Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that Thakur Haridas, when he entered the precincts of Jagannath Puri along with other devotees for the first time to visit Lord Chaitanya after he had taken sannyas and relocated to Jagannath Puri, he offered Mahaprabhu obeisances from a distance. Because Mahaprabhu's residence, Gambhira, was quite close to Jagannath temple, Thakur Haridas felt himself unqualified to approach the Lord in a place which is close to Jagannath's temple. He was convinced that he was of low birth, he had low qualifications, his association was not very much anukul or favorable for his devotional service, bad association. He was convinced of these facts. And therefore from afar he offered obeisances to Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, where is Haridas? Devotees pointed out, he is offering obeisances from a distance. Lord Chaitanya did not say anything. After he had made arrangements for all the devotees to have residences, then very quietly he approached Haridas, embraced him and gave him a place close to his residence from where he could observe the chakra of the temple of Lord Jagannath, and said, this chakra's darshan is not different from the darshan of Lord Jagannath. And every day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go for the morning darshan of Jagannath Dev, and the upalabhog, the morning bhoga that was offered to the Lord, he would get the Mahaprasad from the pujaris and give it, get it some of it to Thakur Haridas personally, or make arrangements for it to be sent to Thakur Haridas. And Prabhupada says, Thakur Haridas felt himself unqualified to see Lord Jagannath, but Jagannath Dev, who is not different from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the same Jagannath, would come every day to give his darshan to Haridas. And Jagannath would also give darshan to Haridas in the form of Mahaprasad. So one must become qualified at least over a period of practice of devotional service, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not different from Lord Jagannath, becomes so much pleased with us that he sends his Mahaprasad to us, because we feel so much unqualified to receive his prasad. And Prabhupada mentions about Mahaprasad. He says, Mahaprasad is not different from Krishna. Therefore, instead of eating Mahaprasad, one should honor it. Thakur Haridas, when Govinda came to give him Mahaprasad, Haridas Thakur was lying on his back and chanting softly. Govinda said, get up, Thakur, Mahaprasad is here. Thakur said, no, I am fasting today. I have not completed my fixed number of rounds to be chanted every day. He is visiting him in the morning. Thakur Haridas would chant 3 lakh names every day. So was it that very day's quota that he was speaking of? Doesn't seem like. Thakur Haridas had grown quite old, and because of his infirmity, although he was totally Krishna conscious, he was feeling that he is not able to complete his regular number of rounds, and hence he decides to fast. As a prayaschitta. Sometimes I know of some devotees, because of certain reasons, if they are not able to attend the morning program, not finishing their rounds, they don't eat prasad, they fast at least half a day. Following in the footsteps of Thakur Haridas. Nobody comes to know of it. There is no need to advocate that. But one sees in the scriptures, this is what the acharyas have said, and one follows it. But one does not follow it mechanically, but one understands the principle. The principle is not to fast, the principle is to follow the rules and regulations. And if, by chance, perchance, if one is not able to, then one must do some prayaschitta. Some repentance should be there. Then Haridas Thakur said, but you have brought Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath. To not honor it is disrespectful. Therefore you took a small morsel, some little prasad, honored it. And therefore Prabhupada says, Mahaprasad should be honored, it should not be eaten. And further in the purport, he says, Thakur Bhakti Vinod has stated, Krishna Bodo Dayamoy Kori Bari Jivha Joy, Sho Prasad Anna Dilabhai. Krishna is very kind. In this material world, we are very much attached to tasting various types of food. Therefore, Krishna eats many varieties of food and offers the food back to the devotees, so that only one's demands for various tastes are satisfied. But by eating prasad, one makes advancement in spiritual life. Let us take, for example, in ISKCON itself, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We are offering some bhoga here, rice, dal, sabji, maybe 6 types of fruits, of sweets in the morning. Maybe somewhere in Italy they are offering pizza, macaroni, so on and so forth. Somewhere in New York they are offering something else, butter cheese, cheese pakoda, like that. There are some devotees here. It's very austere for them to understand how prasad can be of that form. Yes? Like salad leaves. It's very inconceivable that how people can eat it, at least to my brain. It's because my tongue does not have a taste for it. But there are many devotees, there are many people who like to eat those leaves. Krishna is so kind, he accepts both varieties. That is the kindness of Krishna. Simply because our tastes have to be satisfied, Krishna is ready to accept all varieties of food. South Indian spice food or the renounced food which is completely boiled and without any vegetables and without any haldi, without any turmeric, salt. Such a wonderful understanding Prabhupada gives of Krishna's kindness. Krishna bodo daya moy kori vare jivha joy. And therefore when an advanced devotee sees prasad, he feels this is Krishna's mercy. Krishna has been so kind. He has accepted this food simply so that my tongue's taste can be satisfied. And hence, he really honors prasad. Does not eat it. Whereas one does not have the understanding of Krishna's greatness and kindness, then one eats prasad. Because one feels that this has been made for me. Krishna is really dayamoy, bodo dayamoy. All over the world, all over the planetary systems, he is accepting different varieties of food so that all living entities can have their taste satisfied in Krishna consciousness. The living entity is limited. Hence, let us try to satisfy Krishna's taste than our taste. Let us try to satisfy Krishna's palate than our palate. We will become unkind in trying to satisfy our palates to somebody else's preparation. But Krishna never, he is unlimited in his kindness. That is Krishna's kindness, Krishna's greatness. And when a devotee understands how much Krishna is tolerating being offered so many varieties of food, obviously Krishna's best preparation is one, whatever Srimati Radharani offers. And at least we understand our preparation comes somewhere very far away from it. But then we offer it to the Guru Parampara, hoping that somehow or the other Radharani's compassion is so great, she will offer it to Krishna and say, this devotee's prasad cooking is very nice. It is better than me. Please accept it. But what will make Srimati Radhika offer it to Krishna? Our consciousness with which we make the preparation. This is for Krishna's pleasure. Krishna is satisfied by your preparation, Srimati Radharani, but we have no other hope. So please, we are trying with our full consciousness to make prasad in abhoga in such a way that it will be offerable to Krishna. And any mistakes that are there, the superior acharyas remove that and they add their realization to that, and as it goes on. Therefore, in parampara, there should be no mechanical process, but the meditation on how this food is reaching up to Krishna, the bhoga. And sincere prayers to each acharya's lotus feet, and ultimately the lotus feet of Srimati Radhika. Please allow it to be offerable to Krishna. Such consciousness, when seen, and Sri Radhika then offers it to Srimati, to Sri Krishna, Krishna becomes pleased and sends his mercy through that. Because Srimati Radhika Devi is offering it to Krishna, Krishna anyways gives his mercy. And therefore Prabhupada says in the end, in this statement, therefore we should never consider ordinary food on an equal level with Mahaprasad. Mahaprasad always has mercy. But that mercy is perceived according to the recipient's consciousness. Then consciousness is not that we perceive the Mahaprasad, Mahaprasad, but the consciousness is how we prepare the bhoga and how we accept the Mahaprasad. If the bhoga is prepared with the consciousness as this is for Krishna's pleasure, and the Mahaprasad is accepted with the consciousness as this is Krishna's utmost kindness to Tara Madhya Jivha Ati Lobhamoya. This flesh of 1.5 inches is so powerful, it cannot stop talking and it cannot stop eating. As again, as Radha Gopinath Prabhu says, whatever goes in should be pure and whatever comes out should be pure. Hence Prabhupada concludes, one should not be attached to sense object but should accept sense enjoyment as much as required, no more. If one wishes to enjoy the senses more than required, he becomes attached to family life, which means bondage. Family life is not bondage. Attachment to family life is bondage. And family life could begin anywhere. Prabhupada, if not he, somebody else gave the example of the Gita Parivar. A nice brahmachari practicing his procedures, but because of some attachment. Without a family also there is attachment and leads to family life. So the attachment aspect is important, not the situation, not the external situation. The occupational position is not dangerous. The danger is the attachment to the occupational position, the attachment within that occupational situation or that ashram, the attachment within that. And the attachment, what type of attachment? Attachment to sense gratification. But we cannot live without sense gratification. Hence, everything in Krishna consciousness. Sing Krishna songs. See Krishna's form as his deity, the pictures. Hear Krishna's vibrations. Eat Krishna prasad. And after some time, regulate and become free from sensual dependence. Because the nature of the soul is to be free of the senses. And the practical process offered by Sri Chaitanya is this very inseemingly simple but sublime process. We never even understand when the green mango becomes ripe. Nobody ever sees. It is not that there is an announcement. Just now the green mango is 70% ripe, now it has become 80% ripe, 90, 95, 99, 99.3, 99.6, 99.9, Haribol, 100% ripe. It's a very sublime process. You see the mango on the tree, every day you're observing, sometimes some yellow flecks somewhere, one morning you get up and find, oh, it's ripe. Similarly, the process of Krishna consciousness is like that. Slowly as we practice sincerely Krishna consciousness, one day the heart is free from material contamination. And dependence on the senses. And the sublime process is, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. All the prachetas admitted their fault in remaining in household life. So here they are admitting their fault in remaining there. And that remaining means they are admitting the fault of being attached to family life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions, any doubts anyone has? Yes. The mic is coming.
Sometimes we get served prasadam, and sometimes some preparation might not be cooked well. Some potatoes might be still raw. Some kachori maybe still dough is not completely cooked. So, with the understanding that it has been offered to Krishna with devotion, should we still always fully take the prasadam, although there is fault in it?
Alright. One should not be attached to sense objects. So, but Prabhupada afterwards adds, but should accept sense enjoyment as much as required. Depends on one's level of advancement. If one can honor such prasadam and not curse one's body and mind later on, it's all right. But if one is not in a situation to accept, then one should at least accept the fact Krishna is so kind that maybe he has accepted this. That is Krishna's kindness. We are so limited, we are so foolish. But Krishna is unlimitedly kind. And then offer our respects to Mahaprasad. So we can always accept, understand Krishna's kindness, Krishna's greatness, or Krishna's intense desire that we go back home, back to Godhead, and meditate on that fact. In the meanwhile, Prabhupada gives us some hope. He says one must accept as much sense enjoyment as is required. So if it is required that we eat cooked and salted and nice potatoes, then that much sense gratification is all right, as Krishna Prasad. But then we see great acharyas, Jagannath Das, Babaji Maharaj, he would roll in the dust of Vrindavan, and if there is some prasad that has fallen, then he would eat even with the mud on it. Because this prasad, this is the Chintamani Dham. Sometimes in Vrindavan, if you get braj roti and you're not careful, then there may be small particles of dust on that. It becomes very difficult. You need water to swallow it. Understanding, honoring it at braj roti, you cannot spit it out. But then you, next time you're careful whether to accept braj roti or not. So that is all right. But there, acharyas are there. Hence other statement, regulation, slowly make advancement in Krishna consciousness that one can understand Krishna prasad is non-different from Krishna. Asnisyava padaratam pinashtumam adarshanam marmatam. Whether you accept me or reject me, I am still your servant. Whether Krishna prasad is cooked or uncooked, it is still Krishna prasad for me. And as far as for the authorities who are in charge of seeing that Krishna prasad, Krishna bhoga is properly cooked, it is very important they get back to the person who has cooked it and very humbly request the personality, my dear Prabhu, please, next time offer bhoga in such a way that Krishna can have nice digestion. Krishna is a person, although he is unlimited, he is not an impersonal personality, he can eat everything that comes to him. We should not think like that, although he can. So, for us, it is important, if we are not in a position of correcting someone, that we understand Krishna's mercy, that how much Krishna is tolerating just for our sake. That is his kindness. Krishna bodo dayamoy. On the other hand, if bhoga is not properly cooked, and we understand that, then somebody has to give a feedback also. Next time, please see that the bhoga is properly cooked. That is how we look at it. And then, as much sense gratification is required. Right? Prahlada Maharaj was given poison to drink and he could digest it. But if we eat some uncooked food, we may immediately get indigestion and diarrhea. So we are not on that position. But still, the example is there. There is someone on that position who can digest such food because he sees it as non-different. Shripad Ramanujacharya got Charnamrit full of poison. And he accepted it as the prasad of Ranganath. And he digested that. He knew it was poisonous. It was not that he was not aware. He knew that there was poison within it. So the example is there. The ideal is there. We cannot give excuses. Oh, I cannot digest this. Yes. Right now, because of conditional nature, we are seeing it in that position. But one day we have to see how Krishna prasad is, whatever Krishna offers as his mercy. Is it alright? For us, that is there. At the same time, the correctional attitude should also be there for the person who has made it. It is not that anything can go under the name of offering to Krishna. It should be nice, pakka food that can be offered through the parampara to Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki. Sagaura Premanande.